Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 156 of Getting It Out podcast. That was Watcher with No One Cares. You can find that on their latest EP, Plague Sessions. They're a hardcore band from the Pittsburgh area, I believe. I'm always glad to feature any Pennsylvania hardcore band, as it is my home state and scene. And always even happier to play any songs that bands send in to Dan at gettingitout.net. If you want your music played on the podcast, just send it to me. I'll play it. It's that simple. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information on Watcher, and maybe I'll redirect you so you can go buy their music off of Bandcamp, as you should. All right, so what's happening on this episode? Well, it just so happens I've got an interview with another legend, this time Mina Caputo of Life of Agony. We're not really talking about Life of Agony so much, but we're just talking, all right? We're talking about Mina's latest solo album, The Moans, and a whole lot more. Let's get to it.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Dog, back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? He said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap verse, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap verse. Hardcore podcast said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said, all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in. Where you getting it out? Get in and out! Alright, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, Jay Money, and LFTW forever!
So here we are, the second week of 2021. Seems a lot like 2020. I'm gonna miss 2020, if only just for saying 2020 is easier than saying 2021. Did we talk about the year this much before the year sucked? Did we do that? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't remember talking about 2019 or 2018. We only talk about 2020, and now we talk about the way 2021 is going to be better. I stand by the fact that I don't think it is. As we see, men of power are still acting insane, yet somehow getting what they want, because that's what power gets, right? Of course, I'm talking about James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. How did they do this? How did they make this work? We don't know if it'll actually work. You guys probably thought I was talking about whatever, that other lunatic. But no, I'm talking about basketball lunatics because I want to alienate some of you. So listen to me talk about basketball for a couple minutes. James Harden got traded to the New Jersey Nets. Well, they're not New Jersey anymore. They're Brooklyn. Same thing. Hey, can you imagine being a Knicks fan now? I mean, if you are a Knicks fan, what is that like? To have so much hope like 2 years ago going into free agency and end up empty-handed? and seeing Kevin Durant go to the Nets and then Kyrie Irving go to the Nets. And then now you're watching James Harden go to the Nets. I mean, I have no sympathy for you because you're Knicks fans, but I'm a Sixers fan, so I know what it's like, all right? I'm here. Even though we got our guys, we're just never good. It's never good enough. Being a sports fan is very stupid, all right? I fully acknowledge that. It's a total waste of time, and I like it a lot. I get emotionally invested in people who don't give a shit about you, and their success determines your happiness. Yeah, that's what we do. But it's kind of fun sometimes. Rarely, but sometimes, you know. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. This interview I did with Mina was really cool. I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know where it was going to go. And we just let it go wherever it went. And we talked about whatever we talked about. A lot of stuff about her recently released solo record, The Moans. A little bit of Life Agony. A lot of other stuff. What other stuff? Well, you'll have to listen to find out. So stick around. I'm going to play you a song from The Moans. It's called California, and it's the lead-off track from the record. Listen to it, and then listen to my conversation with Mina.
I'm like flying high, running across my walls and ceiling, and next minute I'm like hanging out my window with a noose. So I'm like, yeah.
Well, maybe that'll be the afternoon for you. What part of the world are you in right now? Are you in New York?
I'm in New York City, yes. I live in Brooklyn, Bay Ridge. If you don't know where that is, it's about 20-minute bike ride to Coney Island. And I live right on the water. And, it's really, it was first developed as a beach community 100 years ago.
Yeah.
But now, do you know Bay Ridge?
No.
Where are you?
I'm in Pennsylvania, so I'm not far from you. I'm in Lancaster, the Amish country, where it's a little weird, but it's all right.
Well, man, everything's fucking weird, dude.
You're right about that.
What isn't weird? I mean, you know, what isn't weird and what isn't mysterious and what isn't just mind-blowing on this planet? I mean, if you're really an aware and awakened human being, I'm not saying woke, because I fucking hate that word. I'm talking... awakened. I'm talking if you have ascended You're living literally in the mystery. People that don't live in the mystery, they're not living.
That's true, but it's also really magnified when you're surrounded by Amish people.
Oof. Well,
that's a whole different mystery.
That is definitely a different. It's a different way of life, in a sense. I mean, you know, in a way, it's kind of cool. It's like, you know, they're blocking out like all the false ideology. They've got all their own false ideologies.
Sure. Yeah.
They're blocking out the rest of culture's bullshit, and they got their own bullshit in their own little world. But I don't really know. I have never done research, or I've never studied Amish people, you know, so I can't really make an accurate description on, like, any of it. So, yeah. But I know what you mean. It's different. But, hey, to each his own, and whatever makes someone happy, man. Isn't that what it's, like, supposed to be all about?
It is, of course. And you've been a person who's exemplified that over the last few years. Actually, it's been quite a while. I've been familiar with you, of course, from Life of Agony, going back to when I was a kid. But over the last, I don't know, 20 years, you've really done a whole lot more than just that. What you're doing now is, I mean, I know you're still doing Life of Agony, but what you're doing now is so different from what I originally knew you as, that it's I think I find it especially interesting.
Thank you. Are you speaking on a musical level? Are you speaking on a spiritual level, or like just a human level?
I think all of it, really. And I know that's a really kind of a cheap way to answer that, but I think that all of it's true, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Like, you're just generalizing my entire kind of my output into the world. Which, no, it's cool. I understand what you're saying. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well,
I do. I'm, you know, just trying to be my authentic self. I'm trying to show up as the best version of myself every day, even if, like, today I'm a little emotional, I'm a little weird, but I'm hanging in. I'm trying to keep good vibes for me and my dog. You know, I got Enchanted 528 hertz on. I got my diffuser on, blowing some fucking, what am I blowing? Some orange oil and lavender and what's the root that the Thai people cook with?
That Thai people cook with?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I gotta get up and tell you now. Lemongrass.
Lemongrass, okay.
Yeah, you don't know that? You like Thai food?
No, I'm like a 5-year-old white toddler who just eats chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese in my 30s. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you ever have Thai food, they like to cook with that ingredient. So, but anyway, go ahead.
No. That's interesting you say that, because is this all like essential oil stuff?
Yeah.
Okay,
just trying to maintain some good vibes, and it's strange. Maybe it's, you know, I've noticed definitely a change when. Yeah, when it gets like dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm just like,
oh, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck, man? Like, almost like, I don't know, it's weird. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, we could go way off down that road. I can't stand the darkness, but I've been aware of you, especially you as a singer, and you've always been, you've had a really unique voice. And it's been tough to pin down, but even more so listening to your solo stuff that you do now, and this most recent record. And help me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but is it the Moans or the Mons?
No, it's the Moans.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Short for Harmones.
Okay. I didn't put that together.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't.
But what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go like way back, just briefly. But when did you first discover that you had the voice and you wanted to be a voice and the talent to be a singer?
Well, I never really thought I was a good singer, to be honest. And I started playing classical piano as a kid, and I had classical training, and, you know, and everyone in the neighborhood was starting punk rock bands and shit, and Joey and Alan got together, and, you know, before Life of Agony, and Joey was like, "You're singing." I'm like, "No, Joe, I don't want to be in a fucking band, and I don't want to sing for your stupid fucking band," and da da da. But I wound up doing it anyway, and then, you know, long story short, here we are. So, I mean, yeah, that's how it kind of happened, really, you know. I didn't really plan on any of this. It kind of, like, took me over, in a sense. And as far as talent, all talent is really practice, you know. When you see someone like Prince, or if you call me talented, it's because I'm continuously practicing all the time, whether people hear me or not. You know, I'm still studying 40 hours a week of classical piano, and no one really hears that.
Yeah.
But that's how I am. You know, I could pretty much play any instrument under the sun. But that's because I practice my craft, you know. That's what I do, really.
Well, that type of dedication and discipline, though, is, I don't want to say, maybe it's not a form of talent, but it's still unique and worthy of praise, because we don't all have that. I mean, I tried to learn a guitar for 6 months before I decided I'm never touching a guitar again, you know, and...
Right.
And that's just because I'm a I don't want to say shitty learner, or but I'm an impatient person, so I think sometimes that patience and that discipline is almost a talent as well. You know, the way that people can hone in on something and decide, I want to do this, I'm going to learn how to do it, and I'm going to do it well.
Yep. No, I hear what you're saying. You know, discipline is, it's the art of discipline. That's all it is. You're either a very disciplined creature with your habits, or you're not. Listen, we're the human species. We're a very habitual kind of creature. Any kind of habit you want to form, whether you want it or not, is going to be ingrained in you. It's about programming yourself. And you can program yourself to be, do, or have anything that you want, really. You want to eat a little bit better and stop eating your fucking chicken McNuggets and cheese or whatever you're doing for that. You incorporate different healthier foods every day, and then you build that habit. And once that habit is built within you, it's very difficult to abandon it. Sooner or later, you'll be disregarding the French fries and the chicken McNuggets and the this or the that, but you'll be fucking going after banana, blueberry, pineapple shakes, or this or that, or... And it's just discipline. I'm using food as an example because a lot of people aren't disciplined with what they put into their body either.
Right.
And that's very important. It's the same thing, like a lot of people aren't disciplined with the kind of information they're letting into their mind. I mean, clearly the world is letting the more so than ever, the media is replacing common sense with an incredible amount of bad information that people actually believe, you know. And it's like, it's a psychological kind of warfare that's going on, and you can do that to yourself as well. The reason why I built 40, 50 hours of playing my classical is because you build it every day. you start an hour, the next thing you know, it's 2 hours, and then I'm sitting down 4 hours later, I'm like, holy shit, like, I really need to stop because I'm stopping other things. Because I'm playing piano so much, I'm literally taking away from things I have to do in my life.
Right. So like,
sometimes, you know, same thing with cigarette smoking or weed or whatever, you know, it's just, you build habits and then you maintain them. And that's what talent really is. It's just, it's the art of discipline. It's the art of, you know, yeah, it's just the art of discipline. It's the art of,
yeah.
How could I? Yeah, I'm trying to find a different way to say it, but anyway, yeah.
No. I totally understand. Well, with you, your discipline has kind of been on, on display for years now. But recently, it seems like the amount of your creative output is. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it's at an all-time high. My perspective.
No, I've been going crazy. I've been doing I did a lot. I did a Bob Dylan cover this year. I just released yesterday. I did the song Hard Sun from Eddie Vedder. I just released a video yesterday online on Instagram, everywhere. I don't know if you saw that. I did a song with my cover. We did a Radiohead cover. I did the album. I did LOA's album last year. I just finished music for a 2-hour film that I've been scoring for the past 2-3 years of my life that no one really knows about because I can't really talk about it right now. But, I'm always creatively putting things out. It's more of who's really paying attention.
Right. Well, now that you put out the Moans, what was it, late October, early November, somewhere around there? Mm-hmm. And when you put out a record like this or like that, you know, any of them, do you spend a lot of time, looking back at it, or do you just move right on to the next one?
I move forward. I'm here and now in the moment. What I did yesterday doesn't even exist in my life, to be honest, be completely frank, like, that's how I am, in a way, you know?
Yeah.
I do what I do, and I keep walking forward. I don't really, you know, take back steps into my own footprints, really. I'm just constantly, you know, scurrying along and moving forward and not really getting hung up or, you know, on how something's doing or not doing or who's paying attention, who isn't. Like, I don't have time anymore to fucking think about all this shit. I just, trying to be as creative as I possibly can. I'm trying to heal and be a voice of strength and courage as much as I can with who I am and what I am on a whatever particular day. Some days I have nothing to give people. Sometimes I feel like the world is like a vampire in a way. It like literally sucks your energy out of you. You got to be careful. I just kind of like don't pay attention to anything and just, you know, I'm already I've already started contemplating my next release or album, and aside from all the other things that I'm doing, you know, just
I imagine somebody with as frequent output as you has to kind of do that. Maybe you don't have any, but do you have different type of expectations when you release different projects? Like if you're doing an LOA album, or do you have different expectations than when you're doing just a Mina record?
No. No, I don't really. I don't really. What could I say? I try not to put like any statistical expectations on any of the work that I do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very confident in what I'm putting out into the world, and you either love it or you either fuck off.
Well said.
Yeah, like, I don't, you know, I'm not doing this for you, really. I'm doing this because this is my creative purpose here on the planet. I'm put on the planet to create, to make music, to heal people, to soothe people. But if you don't resonate with it, that ain't my problem. I don't give a shit. So.
When do you feel like you came into that realization?
The music, if my music resonates with someone, great.
Right.
If it doesn't, great. I could give a fuck if you think I'm the worst singer, you know, the weirdest queer. I don't give a fuck, you know. You know, I don't care who offers what money for it or what. Like, it's, I don't trouble myself with mundane, one-dimensional, kind of like petty human fucking ego concerns. I don't give a shit. What I do is like the way of the Tao. You know, what I do is I'm creatively bringing in the mystery of sound, vibration, energy. Again, and if it heals you and if it works with your body and your whole biological system, your taste in music, your whatever, fucking great. I'm so happy that you got it. But I make very sophisticated music. I already know right there I'm losing people because people are very fast food. You know, people are very, people are walking around with McDonald's kinds of states of mind. They want quick, they want fast, they want something easy. People don't want to confront what they're going through, they don't want to confront their emotions. And I'm all about that kind of stuff. I'm like Dr. Caputo. I'm not putting out some garbage fucking radio rock record that everyone's doing. Everyone sounds like they're working with all the same producers, writing the same fucking song for a different face and band so they can get on the radio. And feel special because they fit the radio format. So original. So fucking authentic. But I don't play that fucking game. I could give a fuck. More and more as I get older, I can give a fuck. I'm not a manufactured artist. I never was and I never fucking will be. So I could give a fuck what anyone thinks. I don't really care anymore. All I care about is being healthy, creating abundance for myself and those around me, inspiring people, helping people. Like, you know, if you're not on my boat with me, if you're not like in my sky, if you're not on my magic carpet ride with me, then you're not with me. You know, I want you to be with you being with me.
Sure.
But the people that get it, are very closely, they understand my work, they understand why and how I do things, and they can appreciate me for my gritty authenticity. But most people, they're manufactured. Most people are machines living without souls, plugged into the matrix, plugged into their devices, cyborging out, rubberheading, rubbernecking, you know, walking their phones, not walking their dogs, you know. The shit we see every day in the street, you know, people becoming more and more desensitized. That's when I write more and more creative, in-depthful music, man. So that's the external world inspires me to bring out more of the internal world, because there's nothing on the external world that's going to satisfy you ever. It'll always leave you empty-handed and wanting more. And less is truly more. This more is this wanting more and more and more and more is not the way. Yes, the world has to expand, and expansion is a must. What the globe suffers from now is an overabundance of things and information and disinformation, and a lot. So yeah. I don't have all the answers, man. You know, I just got to do what I do. I do what I do sincerely, you know. I don't really write with anything in mind except to write the greatest fucking song I can for today.
Well, that's interesting you put it all that way, because listening to the moans, there's, you know, it's like you said, you sophisticated was a good word for it, but it's also seems somewhat minimalist sometimes, you know, but not simple. I don't know if that makes sense. And it all seems what's the word I'm looking for? It all seems real. What am I trying to? I'm trying to think of a better word for real.
Genuine.
Yes, that's it. It all seems genuine, and it seems like exactly what you're saying. You're not trying to win people over. You're just trying to make something that's real, that's genuine.
That's it, man. I'm making real fucking music, real albums, proper records, man. I'm not interested in a fucking single that sounds like everyone else, you know. Not interested in working with fucking Lana Del Rey producers and all these people, producers that write songs for, you know, whether, you know, they got the same producers writing for everyone, whether it's for fucking Pharrell, or whether it's for Cardi B, or whether it's for fucking Chevelle or one of these bands, you know, it's just, man, you know, it's like, the art of business has the people that are into the business of art, you know, mindlessly kind of making things to fit their format and their marginalized rules. Again, it's very oppressive. You know, that's why Life of Agony never became a really huge fucking band the way we deserve to be, because we are genuine artists. We artistically make records. The business isn't fucking interested in that. They want manufactured fucking clones so they can meet their financial criteria every fucking year. You know, I get it. I know it's a business, but whatever fucking happened to being different? Everyone is so afraid. It's whack. It's sad.
Do you feel like the part of the inability to pin Life of Agony down to a genre had something to do with that?
Yeah. Well, what I think has a lot to do was that a lot of fucking bad music journalists and a lot of bad writers, because they're not creative thinkers, they fucking throw them dumb fucking metal slap on the band. And the band is very far from metal. My definition of metal is Exodus. Or Forbidden. Or, you know, one of those kinds of bands. Overkill. That's real metal.
Right.
We were never metal. You know, we're just a great fucking bunch of kids writing great fucking songs with a hard edge. You know, taking our sound from the Bad Brains or the Cro-Mags, Age of Quarrel, you know, like that was our original intention, really.
Right.
And then we had years of bad misprinted fucking lies and just you know, miscalculating what kind of a band we really are. You know, we're very adult contemporary, hard rock. I would call us more of like, you know, an alternative punk, hard-edged, controversial, you know, word-slinging, fucking sophisticated, philosophical, fucking hard rock band. Oh, no, that's too much. Let me just call them metal.
Well, you also got lumped in, like you mentioned, a few of the greats, but with the hardcore scene, just as a but that was, I mean, you were part of it, right? But that didn't necessarily make you a hardcore band, right?
Right. We never were that either. We have elements of everything, and people can't. Most people aren't clever enough to actually, you know, describe that, you know? But I do have to say that a lot of journalists that have been writing about the Moans have been blowing me away.
Positively?
What?
Positively, I hope?
Yeah. Like, wow, holy shit, what happened? Writing's coming back in music journalism? That's all I've been saying. I've been laughing like, wow, that was a really beautiful review. Like, holy shit. I think the authentic writers are coming back, you know, instead of Nina Caputo, a.k.a. Keith Caputo, you know, every fucking person, you know, dropping my dead name and reminding the world that I was born a boy and I've got a dick. And it's just like, you know, this lame fucking non-creative, you know, every fucking article, fucking every first page is like the same. Every journalist producing the same fucking criteria. It's like, really? This is like almost 15 years ago. You're still selling that fucking story?
Right.
You still got to remind people of what I was. This is what I mean. There's no creativity in writing. Get over it, man. It's almost 20 fucking years. Get the fuck over yourselves, man. It's like, holy shit, man. Where's the creativity? Where's the interest in your own fucking work? So, but aside from that, I've been saying like, wow, I think the Moans is inspiring people actually to write, which is a good thing.
It is. It is a very good thing. And it's, you know, I've listened to it tons of times, and I feel like I keep getting a new favorite song on it when I go through. Like this afternoon, for some reason, Phyllis kept catching my attention. Would you be interested in telling me about that song?
Yeah. I actually, during the process of recording the Moans, Andy, my engineer, my producer, you know, but my partner, my Danger Mouse, my Danielle Lenoir, if you will, he lost his wife. So I surprised him with two songs about his wife to help him get through the process. And then we added it to the album, which was Phyllis. And then P2 is Phyllis Part 2.
Oh, okay.
So when you go back and if you listen again, check out P2 because it's, you know, it was another one that just kind of just... Sorry, that's my doggy snoring next to me.
It's all right.
P2 is, yeah, just like literally as we were finishing up the record, I was like, holy shit, Andy, this song came to me last night. And I sent him the demo of it, and he was just like hysterical. And then I wound up putting Phyllis and then P2 on the album because, yeah, he lost his wife during the process. And so I started writing songs to help heal him. To help to put him through the healing process, or to at least encumber that, you know, or encourage that best for him.
Well, that's very well. When I listen to it, I mean, it had that kind of feeling, right? I didn't know exactly what all the lyrics were, but it was, it sounded beautiful, but also at the same time sad, and so that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And if you're interested in all the lyrics, they are all on my Bandcamp. I've uploaded all the lyrics on the Bandcamp. So if you were needed something for the article or whatever,
yeah,
they're all there. So just FYI.
Cool. Good to know. I actually have it on the screen now. I see it. Yeah. So with this year, I mean, I know everybody keeps saying the same type of things about this year and how terrible it's been, but how has this coronavirus shit affected you positively?
Yeah, well, to be quite honest, my entire life has been a quarantine.
Yeah.
I'm no stranger of spending time with myself. In fact, I prefer it that way. And I've always been a lone wolf. I've always made time. First of all, I've been doing yoga and meditating for over 25 years my entire life. I have a very quiet, peaceful life. I don't really live on the external. I live more in the internal world. There's more to find out about life within than there is outside in the world. In fact, everything in the external world is a distraction to distract you from your higher authentic self. So I live there. My whole life's been a quarantine. I'm a very creative individual. I'm having an incredible year. Yes, I miss the stage. Yes, I miss my band. But society's not working. The paradigm, the political paradigm, is not working. The social paradigm is not working. Communication, the way the world is run, it's not sustainable. We can't go on this way. I'm at a point in my life, to be quite frank, if an asteroid was going to hit the planet tonight, I'd make sure that I have the greatest day I possibly could. And I'll hold my dog, and I'll sit in the street, and I'll laugh until that fucking asteroid hits the planet. That's where I'm at in my life. That's the I am so grateful to be alive every day and thankful that every moment of my waking life and my sleeping life, I'm incredibly appreciative, and this situation has just given me more free time to meditate, to work on my crafts. I dived more into my classical studies. I made a record. I finished music for a film. I've been making a lot of covers, and I've been making videos for them on Final Cut. I've been putting a shitload of musical information out there. I'm not sitting around idle like most musicians, you know?
Yeah.
I fucking work. I hustle. I'm putting music out. I'm putting cover songs out. I'm trying to do what I do. And I don't sit there on fucking Instagram, you know, like playing one-dimensional games with people, you know? Like, I know that is nice too sometimes, but you're a musician. Make fucking music, you know? Musicians are like more concerned about being on Twitch and talking bullshit all day long instead of working on their craft and their talents and their God-given gifts into why they were here. And I, you know, to each his own, but, you know, yeah, like, the only way this has negative affected me is financially. And maybe in a year or two, I might have a different occupation, because who knows what's going on in this world. There's still no plan. Doesn't look like they want to bring back live music. Yeah. You got assholes like Bill Gates wanting to control the world. A code dude wanting to cover the sun with dust storms to help save the fucking crisis of, you know, of whatever. You know, it's just like, it's a fucking joke, man. It's really fucking funny.
I haven't heard
humanity.
That one.
Humanity. What, really?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear that one.
Look that up. He wants to cover the stratosphere with a dust storm. Go ahead. Go look that up after you hang up with me. But don't take it from me. I'm just a free thinker. I'm just a critical thinker. Don't take it from me. But, like, you know, yeah, in today's world where common sense has been canceled, yeah, I've been just making music, keeping healthy, meditating, taking care of my health, exercising, eating all the right foods. Nothing's changed in my world. I'm still doing me. So whether there's a fucking a pandemic or whatever we want to call it, whatever word we want to call it, you know, or whether we already are in the zombie. People already got their zombie apocalypse. Everyone's pretty much a fucking zombie.
On the phones.
To begin with. please. Now more so than ever. Because it almost seems as if the economists are directing the world into that, into a more of an AI world. You know, so, because that's what it seems like to me. Because nothing really makes sense to me economically or how they're using the virus, you know, to manipulate others and do others. Because nothing really makes sense. It really doesn't. It's the most ridiculous fucking stories I'm hearing every fucking day.
Yeah, it's impossible to figure out, and I've had these conversations with a lot of people, and everybody has a different perspective, it's just, and it's odd.
Yeah, COVID will get you on the way to the bathroom at the bar, so wear your mask on the way to the bathroom at the bar, but at the bar, you can pull your mask off and take sips in between because it won't get you then.
Until 10 p.m. and then you're toast.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually, right. So at 10 p.m. on the West Coast, right, since after 10 p.m., COVID becomes more of a killer.
We're like gremlins.
So, yeah, but before 10 p.m., it won't get you. But after 10, oh, boy, look out. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going on. Okay.
It's right. Very, very complicated rules.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, all the billionaires, I just read this article, and millionaires are like, are cleaning house and making, doing incredibly wonderfully financially as 75% of the globe is fucking basically being bled dry, you know. Close your coffee shop, but don't close your liquor shop.
No, especially here in Pennsylvania, where they're run by the state, they've had no problem staying open.
Yeah, well, I don't. You know, it's very hard to believe 99% of anything, and I don't. And I'm playing. I'm not really sitting duck. I'm doing my work, and I'm exercising my craft. And I am, you know, I'm kind of just like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We all going to play internet games and, you know, play games and, you know, play video games with our fans and this and that and pretend like nothing's happening and just wait? Or what are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, if you had the option now, would you go out and play shows right now?
Where am I going to play?
I know. I'm saying if there was a venue that was willing to book shows right now, would you do that?
Well, the decision just solely isn't up to me.
No, of course not.
You mean if they opened the market back up? And stop the shit and allow people to get back to life? You mean we're not supposed to get sick ever again in life? What's going on? Like, we are our human beings are our own pharmaceutical company. You know what I mean? We're our own pharmacy. We've got about a million viruses in us already. You know, like, I don't know. It depends. Right now, today, if with everything that's going on, I don't know.
Yeah, I only ask because it's a super tough question to answer.
Well, I don't know. I don't know because, you know, there's still a lot of inconsiderate people out there.
Right.
And I'm not saying the virus is fake. You know, I don't misquote me or anything like that. I'm not. I know it's legitimate. I know it's a real thing. The intensity of it and how it's being used is another can of worms. But, listen, you know, people are inconsiderate. And people, listen, every time I went to Europe, I got deathly sick because people don't know how to take care of themselves. And that's how I get sick from motherfucking people.
Yeah.
Because people don't respect their own hygiene. They don't take care of themselves, and they're inconsiderate. They cough right in your face on the plane, and you know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. You know, we've gotten many chances to do live stream concerts, and we declined.
Yeah,
because it's like, no, live stream concerts are fucking whack.
I can't say I've watched any, so, you know.
And it's fucking stupid. And it almost seems like this is where they want it to go. Oh. How many fucking fake shows can you do behind your computer screen? It's almost like they don't want a world with smiles. They want a world without touch. They want a world without feeling. So I'm very confused, you know. And, you know. Yeah, the band's had several opportunities to do live stream, and we declined it because, A, we think it's fucking weak and stupid, and everyone's doing it. And, yeah, like, if we were to ask to do some kind of drive-in theater concert, like, I don't even know if I'd want to do that.
Right.
I don't know if I want my fans sitting in a fucking car spending $200 wearing their masks, not being able to breathe in a fucking car surrounded by people. Like, what?
What if you were asked to go back to Lake Ariel, PA, and play the Pancake House Basement again?
Definitely. And then, well, this time I'll tell them to take the whole fucking building down, and they will.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching a Pennsylvania hardcore documentary earlier this week where they had clips from that show and that story.
Oh my god! Yeah, that was the night I realized you have to be careful with what you're saying because they'll do anything you want them to.
Yeah,
that was like my first literal hardcore lesson. Like, wow. Like, I didn't mean it literally, guys. And then everyone just fucking went berserk. I saw a little clip of that, too, and then I saw myself, like, on the side of the stage, like, oh, my God, what have I done? I didn't realize, like, the weight of my word. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a legendary story here for Pennsylvania in the hardcore scene. So you got that one.
Tell you, man, I could use a fucking big stack of pancakes right now.
Yeah.
I swear.
Well, one last question. I will let you go. I noticed, and we're talking all this virus stuff, and the cover for The Moans, you're wearing a mask in it. Was that any kind of statement? Is that just a timestamp?
It's a timestamp, and the people I was doing the shoot with, you know, there was a few people, and it was just like, you know, I don't really, you know, it was really more of a timestamp kind of thing, like sign of the times thingy, more of like, I'm not trying to tell people what to do, what to wear, how to wear it. I'm not, it wasn't anything like that. It was just more of a time sequence piece. Like there was a whole shoot with the mask. It was actually, originally, it was a shoot for Out Magazine and Glad Magazine that Alago was doing for some project, and it was like a mask project he was doing. And I really loved that photo so much that I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, you know, where am I going to go for a photo shoot? Like, no one's doing anything. So I wound up just using one of these shoots. And it was more like a, and it reminded me of like an interview or an ID kind of magazine cover piece in a way. So I was just, it's a great fucking shot. It like, it spoke to us, and I was just like, fuck it, let's do it. And I was just like, and I used it. And it, yeah, it's kind of like a time thing. I mean, yeah, I'll look back in 20 years and say, wow, this was when this happened. So it was more like for that kind of, it was more like, yeah, we lived through this time or not. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen in 2021 or what kind of orchestrated event they're you know, they're coming up with next. Yeah, it's more of the time thing.
Well, that's interesting, and I think it's a cool idea because the hindsight of this past year is going to be really strange.
It already, you know what, I feel very strange today. It feels, this whole year it's been kind of very strange. Even like walking out to go to the grocery shop, it's just like, just seeing everybody in this state, it's just, the whole thing's like weird and mind fuck, and it's just, it's kind of draining. You know, I'm trying not to, just trying to maintain, man, my warrior spirit. You know, I'm trying my best every day. It's all I could do. Try to be my best self every day. Even if I feel like just throwing myself on the floor and crying and having no idea why. You know, it's just, I feel bad for a lot of people that, you know, a lot of people that are out of work and losing their jobs and losing their apartments and losing their homes. Like, I'm with the working class hero. You know?
Right.
So it's a bit weird, man. Everything, you know, and then seeing all your friends who can handle it, who can't, who's not doing well, who's not doing really not well. And you just, you know, you get to see who's like really weak, who hasn't done much work on themselves at all, you know?
Yeah.
Bit odd, but yeah, man, you just, every day we got to show up as our best self. We got to try to encourage our neighbor. You know, we got to allow our neighbor to wear that badge of courage to be disliked or be misunderstood. You know, that's what I do, man. I put my bag of courage to be disliked on every day because I get it every day. I get at least one asshole a day telling me you're fucking disgusting, I can't listen to your music anymore, you're this, you're that. Meanwhile, he's jerking off to my photos, you know. In DM world, boys are very different than the public world,
yeah.
You know. I can out like 20 rock musicians that want to put their dick in me, but, you know, having them to publicly be my ally is a complete, you know. So that's why I taste the hypocrisy of humanity every day. It's pretty hysterical.
Well, Jesus. Well,
you said it. Yeah. Don't fuck with the Jesus.
I don't even know how to comment on that. That's a lot.
You remember that movie, right?
It's with Big Lebowski. Yeah.
Yeah, he said it. You're like, Jesus, man. You said it, man. Don't fuck with the Jesus. Like, classic. That's got to be your interview headline.
It will be, yeah.
Don't fuck with the Jesus. Oh, my God. But I have another interview. I got to call this person. So I do got to hang up on your ass.
That's all right. I appreciate what you've given me so far. This is great.
I appreciate you wanting to do this and talk about the Moans and something very different than I'm probably sure what you're used to. But I really appreciate your time also and your energy and your patience. And if I've spoken over you, I'm sorry. I do that sometimes. I didn't mean it. And, you know, enjoy life, man, you know.
You as well.
Thank you, I will.
All right, take care.
Thank you, darling.
Yep, bye.
I need you. Don't leave me now. Why have you gone away? Stone to a foe. Nights rolling slow. Wondering how I made it through the day. Tears in my bed. Out of your mind. We spent the happiest days of our lives.
Well, there you have it. That was my conversation with Mina Caputo. And the song there at the end was Phyllis, which we talked about during the interview. If you haven't heard anything else from the Moans, go check out the record. Might not be what you're used to listening to, but maybe that's a good thing. Get outside your comfort zone. Listen to something different for once, you fucking idiots. All right? Big thanks to Mina for doing the interview and all of you who have listened. I did a giveaway this week. We did a giveaway on the Getting It Out Instagram page where I sent a box of records and CDs to the winner. His name was Adam in Georgia. He won the contest. I'm going to do those pretty regularly, so be on the lookout for those. Go follow at getting_it_out_podcast for more information on those. I've been posting a lot of old flyers lately because I just came across them while doing this stuff, so I don't know. That's just fun for me. But yeah, more giveaways to come. If you are a member of the Patreon, though, you don't have to worry about it. You are already entered. I should say, if you're a member of the third tier, which is the $3 tier, yes, there's a $1, $2, $3 tier on the Patreon for monthly contributions to help me do this. You are automatically entered into every contest. So if you want to sign up for that, I really appreciate it. And you will most likely win a contest. That's not true. I cannot guarantee that at all. But hey, maybe you will, right? So go to patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast if you're interested in signing up and becoming a part of the Patreon. There will also be access to the list of upcoming guests, which I need to update. But it's true at the moment. What's there is what's happening. And every sign up gets free stuff sent directly to you. And you get access to Getting It Out Radio, which I'm overdue with, so I got to knock one of those episodes out very soon. So be on the lookout for that if you're a subscriber. All right, that's going to be it for this one. One last song to end things. This one is from Heave Blood and Die. They're a Norwegian anti-capitalist experimentalist, and it's a little post-punk is what they call it. The song is called Post People, and it's the title track off the band's forthcoming album, due out February 5th on Physisk Format. That's a label I haven't heard of, but you should check it out. Physisk, F-Y-S-I-S-K Format. Again, February 5th, the record's called Post People. So is this song, Heave Blood and Die. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.